The air smelled of salt water and marsh, and it was filled with the sounds of hammers ringing out, saws grinding through wood, the steady chop of axes and adzes, the musical ring on the blacksmith's work. The ad hoc Longport, Vicefjord as Thorgrim called it, Loch Garman to the Irish, was once again alive with the cumulative effort of getting a small fleet of battered ships ready to take to the sea, to leave the shores of Ireland, to return, perhaps, to Norway. Thorgrim Nightwolf did not like to think on that. He would not, even if asked directly, say that such was his plan. It was bad luck. It was an irresistible temptation to the gods for him to say such a thing. Some men, he knew, could declare that they would sail for Norway, and the gods would not stand in their way. Rather, they would send the winds that would fill their sails and drive them to the eastward, their ships brimming with plunder and crewed by those happiest of sailors, the ones who were homeward bound. Such was not the case with Thorgrim. He had come to understand that, so he tried to not tempt the gods in any way. He was not, at that moment, thinking of those things. He was not paying attention to the men working on the ships. He was looking instead at Feyland, delicate as a bird, tough as leather. She was seated on a makeshift bench. 3 weeks before, they had had to carry her on a litter to the boat tied up on the ban, and float her down to where the longships remained pulled up on shore, where the ban and the Slaney met. She had used the very last of her strength standing straight at Thorgrim's side, as he had negotiated the safe passage of his men, the rolls of oiled wool cloth to be delivered to Loch Garman. She spent 3 days on her back once they reached the Longport, sleeping, drinking broth. The Northman, who had not known what to make of her at first, had come to love her. She had marched with them, fought with them, been wounded in a desperate defence of their shield wall. She had suffered her wound without complaint. Now, the men treated her like the privileged noblewoman Thorgrim suspected she once had been. By the fourth day, she was done with being an invalid. She forced herself to her feet, to the visible and almost comic concern of the others, and hobbled around the place. She insisted on more solid food, on ale. She walked until she was exhausted, and then sat, and then walked again. 3 weeks since the spear had ripped through her side, and now there was nothing left but a wound that was mostly healed, and the beginning of what would be an impressive scar. 2 nights before, she and Thorgrim had been lying together under the blanket they shared, on the bed of boughs and bearskin that Thorgrim had fashioned. She was wearing a lena, Irish dress, rather than the clothes of the Northmen. She had been doing so more often, and Thorgrim was not sure if it was because they were more comfortable, or because she felt secure enough in the company of the Northmen that she no longer had to prove herself as one of them. It never occurred to him to ask her. It was not the sort of thing he would do. Feyland was seated now, but she was not resting. Spread across her lap was a wide swath of red wool cloth, and over her knees an equally wide swath of white. Her hand was moving with a swift and regular motion, stitching the red to the white. When she was done, 2 more panels of Seahammer's sail would be completed, and only 6 more to go. And then, once she was shown how, she could begin sewing the bolt rope around the sail's perimeter. Thorgrim had not expected the abbot to produce much when he had insisted the monastery provide some of the cloth he had been promised.